If you missed it, amnesthespa. Do you remember even what it was?
Yes, of course I remember what it was. I knew what it was yesterday.
No, it was the jumping worm.
The worm.
It was
not,
it was, that was the worm story. That wasn't even the big word story.
What is amnesthesis?
Amnesthespa was the name of the jumping worm that is almost like a snake that's 5 inches long that we talked about yesterday.
Got it. Okay.
That's what that was. We did have another bunch of big words and circumlocution and all that stuff because it was a national big word. By the way, today's Earth Day. Let's give it up for Earth. Only place we got
for show.
So it is a big sports night for Los Angeles.
Huge. If you, I mean, Anthony Davis coming back, Dodgers, Padres at Dodger Stadium. It doesn't get this for a Thursday. This is as good as it gets.
This is a great night for Los Angeles sports fans. And I, as I always like to say, this is the night where I really put the previous channel button to work. Back and forth and back and forth. Anthony Davis for about 15 minutes or so against Dallas as they sort of put him on a pitch clock as he's coming back from his injury. And then it's Dodgers-Padres at Dodger Stadium. And you know what, John? I got something to say about the San Diego Padres. You know, they're 10-10. They just got swept by...
Loves the
Slam Diego. There you go. You know what? They are still the Padres. I mean, I love Fernando Tatis Jr. I think he's one of the young, exciting players in the game. Machado, Hosmer, Cronenworth, all those guys. A nice rotation. Darvish, Snell, Musgrove, Paddock. But you know what? They are really absolutely no match for us. And I've reached the conclusion, John, that the Dodgers will win the division by double digits this year. Double digits they will win the division by. Do you agree?
I think the Padres can stay within double digits. I think the Dodgers will win it, and I think the Padres will be about 6 or 7 games back.
I think the Dodgers will blow the doors off this thing.
Because the rest of baseball isn't that good. I think the Padres aren't going to lose that many games to teams other than the Dodgers. See what I mean? I mean,
I do. You know, I think San Diego, I think we got a little carried away with this rivalry thing, though, right? Because if you're a Dodger fan, our rivalry is with the Giants. The Padres are just our cute little neighbors to the south. The Giants are our official rivalry. Is that not the case?
Well, taking that a step further, I'm not even sure a rivalry can be that if only one team wins.
Correct.
You know, if only one, like people say the Lakers and the Clippers are a rivalry. Well, if the Clippers have never been out of the second round of the playoffs.
I think it's a rivalry for the lesser team. So, like, the Padres are like, come on, let's get the Dodgers. This is our rivalry. And I think the Clippers are the same. Come on, let's get the Lakers. We're the Clippers. I don't think the rivalry necessarily goes the other way. Like, I don't think the Lakers consider the Clippers their rival. And I don't think the Dodgers consider the Padres their rival.
Right, I mean, but in both cases, they are legitimate threats to what the incumbent has. So that's kind of why we're twisting it into a rivalry. Like, you could see the Clippers upsetting the Lakers. Matter of fact, if they meet in the playoffs, the Clippers will be the higher seed. They'll have home court.
Right.
And you could see the Padres upsetting the Dodgers, but any fair-minded, rational person would tell you that both the Dodgers and the Lakers are clearly better than the other team.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at the Dodgers, and I think it's fair to call them at this point. And Mookie Betts is going to come back from – he got struck in the forearm.
So is he playing tonight?
The other night. He is in – he's going to be in the lineup tonight. Yeah,
good.
So Mookie Betts is coming back tonight. So we get that. Still no Bellinger, still no Lux. But have no fear. We've got Zach McKinstry, who has turned into one of the really good stories in baseball. They have so much depth, John, that even in those games where they didn't have Mookie and they didn't have Bellinger, they were able to win. Their run differential is through the roof. The Padres are only 10-10. I mean, we're all excited about a 10-10 team. I don't want to dampen the excitement about the series, but let's face it, it's just the Padres.
Right, but the Padres are the biggest threat to the Dodgers. That's why it's an interesting series. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually taping it because I'm going to be working the Laker game, so I can watch it when I get home.
Yeah, that never works for me. So you DVR the game, and then you come home and you watch it without knowing. You have to have
known
the final
results. I'll know what the score is. Matter of fact, I'll even go to the rundown on ESPN to know where the runs are scored.
Right.
And then
the
just
GameCast?
And then fast forward to that stuff.
Right. I can never, once a game's over, I don't necessarily go back and watch it. Sometimes I watch the, like, five-minute version, the Lakers quickie cast or whatever they call that thing. Compacto, yeah, thank you. The quickie cast, actually. It's a pretty it's
Lakers
good name
compacto.
For it when you think about it. And the Dodgers do one, too. See the game in 5 minutes or whatever it is, the quickie cast. So I come sometimes to that, but I never go back and watch an actual game. Tonight, by the way, Ryan Weathers is on the mound for the Dodgers. He threw 3 2/3 innings of shutout baseball last week against the Dodgers. He is a converted reliever who's filling in because Dinelson Lamet is still hurt for the Padres. Walker
he looks pretty
Buehler.
Good. Weathers looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, no, he's been good. I mean, I don't know if they're going to get any length out of him, but I think he looks pretty good. He threw 3 2/3 last time. They're trying to stretch him out a little bit. Tomorrow, by the way, Yu Darvish versus Clayton Kershaw. Saturday, this is a game I'm going to. Big night out at Dodger Stadium. Trevor Bauer versus Blake Snell. I hope he pitches with one eye closed. And Sunday, it's Joe Musgrove and Dustin May. Big series, fun series, but I mean, it's only the Padres. It's cute. It's adorable what they're trying to do down there. But they're still the Padres.
Yeah, I don't think most other people think of it that way.
Oh, bull. I think people do. I think Dodger fans think that.
You don't think this Dodger fans are going to watch this series because it's fait accompli that the Dodgers are going to win?
No, I think they're going to watch because it's fun. I mean, I watch all the Dodger games, but this one's got a little bit more sizzle because it's the Padres and they're pretty good. But I don't think the Dodgers are on the same level as the Padres. I think the Padres are a huge step down from the Dodgers.
Well, I think you admit they're going to make the playoffs, right?
Padres will make the playoffs as a wild card.
Yeah, so they'll finish about 12 step down.
They'll finish about 12 games behind the Dodgers in the National League West.
I think the Dodgers are the Padres are the biggest threat to the and I'm picking the Dodgers to go back to the World Series, but I think the Padres are the biggest threat to them. You don't?
I think the Braves are in the conversation. Who they played last year?
Get off the fence. Who's a bigger threat, the Padres or the Braves?
I'll go Braves.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'll go Braves.
No.
By the way, Braves off to an 8-10 start. Doesn't bolster my case very much.
Yeah, but
nobody's really off to a great start. That's what's interesting about baseball.
Except for the Dodgers.
Yeah, Dodgers are 14-4. Brewers 11-7. They just swept the Padres. The Mets are only 7-6. They lead the East. Philly second at 9-9. So nobody's necessarily setting the world on fire. The Dodgers at 14-4 and a 38-run differential already is pretty incredible. The Red Sox are a team that's actually off to a surprise start. Their run differential is 27. I just think, look, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll be a great night if you're a sports fan in Los Angeles. What's the impact of Anthony Davis coming back for just 15 minutes tonight?
Huge. I mean, I think he's the difference. I hope. Let's say he plays the first 4 minutes of every quarter.
Yes.
All right. I think that gives the Lakers a tremendous advantage. I mean, who's going to guard him on Dallas? Now, Porzingis is questionable.
Oh, he is.
For the second night of a back-to-back. They played last night. Dallas played last night. They won, but they beat Detroit, who's not very good.
And AD will play a lot at the five. I'm sorry, a lot at the four, because Andre Drummond will play a lot of the five, right?
Right. And I think he's only going to play 15 or 16 minutes. So I think he could have a huge impact.
You know, it's a game that the Dodgers or that the Lakers, if you look at the standings, still mean something. Still mean something.
Oh, are you kidding? If they lose these two games, there's a real chance that they're going to have to play in the play-in tournament. And if they win even one of them, I think it staves off the play-in tournament for now. There's 14 games left. And right now they're 3 games ahead of Dallas. So, it could go down to 1 or it could go up to 5. Matter of fact, they're 3.5 games.
Yeah, 3.5 games, exactly.
They're 3 ahead of Portland, who's
so if
sixth.
Dallas swept, we would fall into that spot.
No, Portland's there.
Portland's also there, right.
Yeah, so, but there's a real chance that if the Lakers lost these two games, then the play-in tournament becomes a possibility.
You
if
know
they
what
were
I
to
say?
Win these two games, then forget it.
I think they will. I think they'll split these two games. I'll go with a split. I think they'll split these two games. I don't think the Lakers – I originally thought without LeBron and without AD, the Lakers were going to fall into that play-in tournament. I no longer believe that. I think they will hold on. I think AD coming back is going to have a huge impact right now during these final few games. And then maybe in the final eight games, final five games, final 10 games, whatever it is, you get LeBron James back and they finish strong as they get into sync for the postseason. You know, here's where I've got a – huge issue, John, today. A huge issue. The NBA is going to immediately turn around and start next season in October.
They have to.
Why do they have to?
They have to because they can't do this. I mean,
why can't they stay with a Christmas Day start?
Because it's not any good.
Why?
To me, I think the best part, and I think most NBA players feel this way, the best part of the year to have off is the summer. And I think that that's when the NBA can – their ratings, Mace, are way down because people have viewing habits. And if the Christmas start hasn't really worked out ratings-wise, the ratings have never really –
Well, nothing's worked out ratings-wise.
The NFL.
Nobody's – I mean, even the NFL was down a little bit this year.
Yeah, they're down 10%. The other sports are down like 40.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, John, they're compacting too many games in too short a period of time. If you think a lot of stars are sitting now, wait till you have another offseason of, you know, whatever it is, 5 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever that happens
training camp. It would be all of August, all of September, and most of October.
So they're going to start late October?
They always
November?
Do. They always do. Now, where I think they can make some hay here is cut back the preseason. You know, they're not going to want to hear that because they make money in the preseason. But you don't need four or five preseason games. Open the camps on October 15th and have the first game on, like, the 30th. And then you're off and running.
Yeah, I just think the Christmas Day start is perfect. And I don't see why you pack so many games into such a short period of time. I mean, you got teams playing 5 days
right,
and seven
but
nights.
But here's the problem. If you're doing that because they're trying to play 72 games each.
Correct.
They're trying to get back to 82 games, which is what all the salaries are based on. And so if you using your theory, if they start on Christmas Day and play 82 games, they'd have to jam even more in there. You know, they're finishing in July for two reasons. Number one, they don't want to go head-to-head with football more than they have to. And the last possible end date of the finals is 2 days before the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. So they're trying to protect their ratings. And so I think that as soon as they get back on their normal calendar, which is start in October, finish in June, then they're home. But they got to do it.
Yeah, I just saw... I think it was Baxter Holmes did a piece. He talked to a bunch of NBA executives, and they were all, like, shaking their heads saying, this is too many games in too short a period of time. And
now, are you talking about the 72-game season?
Yeah, the 72-game season coming back in October. Too many games, too short a period of time, shorter than usual summer, shorter than usual break, coming off virtually no break at all, three seasons in rapid succession. And I think you're going to see, you know, right now we're seeing a lot of stars sit for games, a lot of load management. I think you're going to see even more next year. And so that's not good for the ratings.
Right, but they need, if they want to protect an 82-game schedule, if they do what you're suggesting and start on Christmas, they'd even have more games jammed in. You know,
you've got all summer to be able to do it.
Right.
It doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to end on July the 22nd or whatever it is.
So you're saying that the months you would want them to have off are September, October, November?
Yes. Go and they'll go where summer is.
Boy, that's a tough thing.
Why?
Because I think that people are used to watching the finals in June. And if you're going to watch the finals in August and September, you're going head-to-head with the NFL. It's hard. NFL is the one thing that guarantees, even an NFL preseason
right, but
game,
it's only NFL preseason. It's not, and preseason is cut down this year.
Yeah, well, wait, look and see what happens when you put an NFL preseason game up against anything. It dwarfs it. The NFL cannot be beat. You can't beat them. You can put a game on between.
Yeah, I just think it's not in the best interest of the players to come back so fast.
Well, they have a say in it. I mean, they do,
and they're sitting. They're choosing to sit a lot this year. They're going to choose to sit a lot next year. And your contention is that's not good for the game.
Right, but I think they got to spread the games out more. You get like if they do what you say, start on Christmas and play till the end of September.
Yeah, or the end? No, mid August.
That's right back to this schedule we have now, where we're playing every other day. If you start 2 months earlier than that, you can spread the games out more. I really do think that they should never have more than four games a week, and I think the ideal is three.
Right, like, and right now there are some teams
Sunday,
that have
Sunday, Tuesday,
five.
Friday. Right.
Yeah.
I know. I'm living them.
Do you understand load management in a world where you're playing five games in 7 days? You have to. You have to get that.
What do you mean?
You have to understand and be sympathetic for why guys are saying, you know what, had a really short offseason, and now we're playing a lot of games in 1 week. This is one I'm going to sit for.
Well, it kind of depends what you're playing for. Like Stu Lance has a schedule that he carries with him. You know, when people bring up what you just brought up.
Yep.
And they used to play five games in 6 days, in different cities.
And they used to drive around in covered wagons. I mean, old school stuff just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, we can bring that up. Michael Thompson played, you know, 100 games a week and traveled in a shoebox.
Yeah, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant didn't miss games.
Right, but they were exceptions to the rule. LeBron, I think, is an exception to the rule. I don't think LeBron games if he's healthy, but I think a lot of guys, you've got to manage their time. You've got to manage the amount of time they're on the floor, because you want them healthy when it matters. Because all you guys care about is rings.
Well, I mean, we're going to find out, because there's never been a season that has been load managed more than this one. I mean, the Clippers basically sat their whole team last night.
Yeah,
and they won.
All right, 877-710. You have a bunch of ways you can reach the show. 877-710-ESPN is the phone number. 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, MASE, at LA Ireland. You can IG me at Venice Mace, MASE, and you can email the show venicemace@gmail.com. John, what's your email address?
venicemace@gmail.com.
Thank you. So, John, when there are no games, I've discovered a brand new show to watch.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to surprise you. It's going to surprise you. That is coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is from Danny Organista Casillas.
Hey, wow, Ireland. That's a long name.
Hey, Ireland. Padres are cute. Nobody hates them. The damn Giants are a different story. Exactly. Padres are adorable. That's a cute little organization. They're building something that's really neato. But we are the Dodgers.
Did you say the word neato?
Neato.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
How old are you?
I don't know about
really
that word.
Neato. I was trying to dust off some old words.
Yeah, that worked.
All right, so real quick, we were talking about the big scandal this week was the one involving Butterfly 424, otherwise known as Vivian Flores, and whether or not she exists and who she is. In case you missed this, this is from the other night. If you followed this and went down the rabbit hole on this, there was a report that Vivian Flores, who was part of a podcast done with Josh Toussaint, went missing. He claimed that she had cancer. Later, she did show up, and now there's all sorts of debate about whether there is a Vivian, if a Vivian exists. Did she catfish everybody? Did she catfish him? I've got an update. This is from email, John. This is from Kevin Angelus. Josh Toussaint apparently stated on the Daily Beast article that he is from the San Fernando Valley. However, I do not believe that he is from the Valley, because I would have seen him around here, and the Valley is not that big of an area. He is also a graduate from CSUN, which also I don't believe that he went there, because CSUN is not a big, in terms of square footage, campus like UCLA or USC, yet I would have seen him there. I would think that he lives elsewhere other than the Valley. Vivian is definitely a person that he created. And Waleed Khan, who is Josh's close friend, pretty much voices as Vivian, as well as fitting the appearance of Vivian. So
we no longer think it was Toussaint. We think it was this other guy.
Well, we think it was Toussaint along with Waleed Khan, who was actually playing Khan, interestingly, was actually playing Vivian. So that's the latest that we get and the latest we understand about that. So, John, last night was a rare night when there were no games. I'm always bummed out when there are no games, when we don't get a Dodger game and we don't get a Lakers game. So I was a little faded. I was a little stoned last night. And I was looking for something to watch, and Juan put on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And remember, I know nothing about the Kardashians.
Excellent
nothing
show.
Except what you say.
Yeah.
And I find myself, because it is so mindless and so stupid and filled with such inconsequential garbage, that it's actually a pretty good show to watch.
Of course it is.
Right? I mean, it's actually, I mean, you don't really need to know anything. It's like Kim went shopping and Khloe bought shoes and, I don't know, other garbage like that. It's like just so meaningless. And so we play the game now where when a Kardashian appears on the screen, one will say, which one is that? And I'll guess which one it is. So I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to figure out who Khloe is. I definitely know Kim and Khloe. And I know who's the oldest one, Courtney. I've picked out Courtney from the group. I don't know the young ones very well, but I find it to be just mindless enough to entertain me when I'm a little faded and I'm ready to go to sleep at night and there are no games on.
I've been trying to sell you on this for years. It is, and by the way, I mentioned yesterday that the world is lining up to try and date Kim.
Yes.
Kim is now the world's most eligible bachelorette.
Yes,
times
she is.
10.
Yeah,
she's a great-looking billionaire who's on the open market. So if we were going to set Kim up, who do you think would – I mean, I used to say that if she hooked up with Tim Tebow, it would break the internet.
Yes. Well, here's the little dirty secret about this kind of stuff. Did Kim – see, I think Kim and Kanye was a strategic marriage.
This is very possible where you're going.
I think Chris said, you know what? You would really broaden your audience and we would make a lot of headlines if you and Kanye became a thing. And so they did. It's called strategic dating. I would imagine that Kim's next boyfriend is going to be somebody who's high profile, whether it be an actor or an athlete, somebody who people no, so that it creates headlines, it generates buzz, and I don't think it necessarily means that she's fallen in love.
No.
You may be right, Mace, but do you think that she'd really marry Kanye and stay with him for, what was it, like 3 years, if it was just strategic?
That's a good question. Given that it's the Kardashians, the answer is yes, I do. If there's anybody that would do it, it would be the Kardashians. But I find it to be actually, now I've picked out who Scott is.
That would be LD.
Who I was told once released a line of socks.
No, you're talking about LD.
Who's LD?
Lord Disick.
Oh, Lord, who calls him that?
He calls himself that.
Oh, he does. Oh, so Lord Disick.
He calls himself LD.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just stupid enough to satisfy me. As I'm going to sleep at night.
See, you're now discovering something that I've been doing for years. You know, you're a little late to the party. This is the last season of Keeping Up, which is why I can't remember, Mace, if you were around, if we did this while you were gone. I think you were around when people were suggesting this Photoshop controversy with Khloe. Totally done to pipe content into the show. Like, complete. She wasn't outraged about that. She puts out pictures of herself all the time. What does she care? Now she wants to peel one back? Are you kidding?
It's weird. I guess that's just for press.
Right, of course. Well, everything they do is for press.
By the way, Juan texting from the next room, Scott is not socks. You told yourself that. Rob is socks.
Oh, Rob's selling socks. You know, Rob used to be an intern at KCBS KCAL with us.
Nah, supposedly Rob left the show.
Yeah, you don't see him very much anymore. I've seen him around town. Well, you know, the night of your birthday, when you had your big birthday party a couple of years ago, you remember Lisa, my wife's birthday is on the 19th, and you're on the 23rd.
Yep.
So she really wanted to go to Nobu. So we went to Nobu, and so all the Kardashians are there, including Kim and Kanye, to celebrate Rob's birthday. And I know Rob a little bit. So Lisa and I are at the table, like, over to the side. So when there's kind of a break in the action at their table, I walk over to Rob to wish him a happy birthday. And Mace, I'm not kidding.
Yep.
The security came, like, out of nowhere. I got jumped by, like, six guys.
Did you really?
And Rob goes, no, 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 he's cool. I know him. And so I sat down and talked. But that, I mean, that's how...
Wow.
You got the he's cool, wow. I know him?
Yeah, no, from Rob. Because Rob, I know Rob. But
that's awesome.
But then Lisa goes, the people at this table next to us are completely confused. They're going, how in the world does Rob Kardashian know John Ireland? What's happening here?
Yeah, where did you know Rob
from? Rob was an intern for us at KCBS KCAL.
Oh, got it.
One of Rob's best friends was one of Don Corsini's sons. Don ran KCBS KCAL.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Rob came an intern for us one summer.
Yeah. Well, in any event, it's not bad to watch. I've been telling you this for months.
Welcome. Finally, you get to the party.
I still can't watch any of those shrieking harpy shows.
Wait, the Housewives?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get you.
Those are just shrieking harpies to me.
No, we've got one for you. Tell Juan to queue up the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. All right? That's the newest one.
Yeah.
Absolute train wrecks. It'll make you, no matter how bad your life is, it'll make you feel better about yourself.
I'd have to be more stoned to watch those shrieking harpies on any of those.
Aren't you on most nights anyway?
Well, I'm pretty gone.
Right. It's perfect.
You know what you might like, Mace? There's a documentary.
Oh, go figure. Lindsay's got a documentary.
It's called Got Hooked Me on Documentaries back in the day. I wouldn't want to say maybe 10 something years ago. It's called The Queen of Versailles.
Oh, I love that documentary.
Okay, see? There you go. That's kind of
okay,
like,
so Lindsay,
to me, that's like the basis for Real Housewives, isn't
John,
it?
John, you would love that documentary, Queen of Versailles. It's about a really rich a couple that loses everything.
Oh, so basically it's Schitt's Creek in real life.
It is Schitt's Creek in real life. That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
Okay. By the way, Lindsay, have you watched the college admissions scandal documentary?
Oh, yeah. I see all these, like, the day they come out.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
great.
I watched the college admissions one. I didn't really understand anything about the college admissions one until I watched the documentary.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. And Matthew Modine was good as that creepy Rick Singer guy.
It was a weird doc. Yeah, it was a weird doc. All right, coming up next for you, Cam Akers, running back for the Rams, has started his brand new dating service.
Really?
What?
Yes.
Why would
brand
he
new dating be? Service.
Okay.
And a birthday near and dear to every Lakers fan's hearts. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that the parrot?
The bird is back. Oh, love that bird bit. One of my favorite bits in the line. Everybody hated the bird bit. I thought the bird bit was funny.
Found
good job bringing it back there.
The song he's singing, Patience by Guns N' Roses.
Wait, how do you teach a bird to do that?
That's genius right there. You can laugh at the bird and you can mock the bird, but the bird is genuinely singing that song.
You know, today
I
saw a video where there's this, I'll have to send it to you guys, but there's a baby crying, and every time the baby cries, the dog cries with it, and he goes, oh, 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 every time the baby cries.
Boy, that would be annoying. Every time the baby cries. Email, subject line, Padres are a pinata, Tim Haddock writes, and then the email says, and the Dodgers are the stick. Padres are a pinata, Dodgers are the stick. By the way, this is for you, John. Hey, Mace, don't have to feel guilty for calling people fat. Well, it's not okay to shame anyone and make them feel bad. And yes, big is beautiful, but fat is also unhealthy. So it's not cool to shield people from their unhealthy traits. Saying this is a bit wrong, but you catch the drift. Hope you had a good 420. There's still an open debate about the use of the word fat. Whether we should or should not use it.
Yeah, I called an umpire fat last week and said his strike zone was too big, and somebody got all bent out of shape that I was.
Don't be shaming that guy. Don't be shaming him.
Well, the guy hasn't umpired in like 6 years. It was like 10 years ago that guy was umpiring. Remember Eric Gregg? He had a really wide strike zone. Yeah,
that was the World Series.
Reason number 200, I want to go to this computerized strike zone.
Yep. Let's go to Robert in Long Beach. Robert, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. Sure. You know, when you were talking about the Kardashians, Steve said it's great because, quote, you don't have to know anything, unquote. And when Steve says things like that, it makes me wonder or think about why he says things like the sports schedules aren't fine the way they are. They are. They work. Everything stops and starts with this beautiful annual rhythm. And you want to talk about an owner of an NBA team is going to compete with the Olympics every 4 years on purpose? No way. No way they're doing that. Everything works fine right now. And as a solution, you want to talk about load management. Just like tanking, load management is enormously disrespectful to the fans, enormously. They're not putting a competitive product on the floor in one reason or another every night. That doesn't work. The Lakers are so loaded, as an example. You could put LeBron and Anthony Davis on the floor for 25 to 32 minutes every single night. Everybody's happy. They win a lot of games. Problem solved.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much. When I show up on Saturday at Dodger Stadium to see the Dodgers play the Padres, it may be that Mookie doesn't play. He's not in the lineup for whatever reason. Could be that I don't see Justin Turner. JT gets the night off. I don't always get to choose the stars I get to see when I go to a game.
Put my sweat in my job every day, and if I decide to suck one day, my boss says, what's going on? We pay good money to watch these sports. These guys should show up and play. Not 48 minutes, not 45 minutes, but show up and show me your product. That's what I paid for.
Well, and the other thing about that is, Robert, that when you get a guy who respects that, who shows up every night, when you get a Kobe Bryant, you got to appreciate him. Because a lot of guys don't do that. Like Kawhi Leonard, I'd say it's a coin flip whether or not he's playing anytime you go to a Clipper game.
Sure.
But, you know, that's their right. They don't have to play him every night.
See, my issue, though, is it makes more sense in a world where you're playing three seasons in basically 2 years. You're playing seasons in 2 years.
The pandemic has thrown everything off. The players, if they wanted to, could just say, we're out, we're not playing. But the reason they don't do that is they get 50% of the revenue. They get half of that billions of dollars that happens when you broadcast games and sell tickets. So they're gonna try and they're going to try and capitalize on as much of that money as they can, and who could blame them?
Let's go to Robert. A lot of Roberts on the phone today. Robert in Venice, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got a question about Andre Drummond. But first, Ireland, so thank you for sharing your big head nicknames. I've got a new one for you.
Okay, good. Which one do you get?
It's Beetlejuice. Remember the character with a shrunken head? He's like the Ireland opposite universe version of you.
Oh, yeah. Ireland is the anti-Beetlejuice.
I haven't seen Beetlejuice in like a million years.
It's a great
years.
Movie. It's a great movie.
Michael Keaton's in Beetlejuice, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so genius. Rob, what's the Andre Drummond question?
Yeah, so I think the key for the Lakers to get back to the finals is how they integrate Drummond into the rotation since they've had no playing time together with both Davis and LeBron on the court. So my question is, you know, what offensive schemes will they run with Drummond, and how long do you think it's going to take to build chemistry? Because we saw the chemistry issue hurt the Clippers last year, right? Because they didn't have a lot of playing time on the court together.
Right, but remember, Rob, the Lakers were really bad in the bubble initially. Remember they had those eight, what would you call them, like
regular
warm-up
season
games?
Warm-up games.
And the Lakers were terrible, and everybody thought – and they basically used those games to just try different combinations. They threw Taylor Horton Tucker out there. They did a whole bunch of stuff.
But they're not going to get that luxury this year. He's right.
But I'm saying that if LeBron comes back in early May, they'll have seven or eight games where they could do that again and just kind of feel it out before the playoffs even start. So I would have the people seem to be able to adjust to playing with LeBron better than other people. Like last year at the end of the eight, did we call them play-in games last year? What did we call them? Practice games, warm-up games?
Are you talking about the preseason or actual games?
I'm talking about the eight regular season games in the bubble right before the bubble playoffs.
Got it.
If you would have predicted at the end of those who was going to win the title, you wouldn't have said Lakers. They look terrible. But they just...
Wait a minute, you don't remember what I said, John. Straight to the title.
I think that the Lakers, like, figured out... When the playoffs start, they'll be a completely different animal. They'll be, you know, AD and LeBron play more minutes. You'll, you know, we'll find out if you know, if and where Drummond fits in. Do you want to play AD at the five at all so you can get Caruso out there in the fourth quarter? All that stuff will work itself out.
Yeah.
Plus, LeBron goes zero dark 30, so that helps.
Right. So the big thing with LeBron is just get him healthy, and that way you get him into the playoffs when he plays 40-plus minutes and he's just a monster.
All right, so coming up next for you, John, Cam Akers dating service and a birthday for somebody who's near and dear to every Laker fan's hearts. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, let me tell you about O.C. Mazda. Yeah, my buddy John Patterson owns Tusta Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda. And like me, he loves baseball. Baseball. He said to me, you know how tough it is to hit for the cycle? Of course, hard. Mazda did that. Top Consumer Magazine has rated Mazda top in reliability, top in owner satisfaction, top in road test, and number one overall brand of every brand in the USA. And to celebrate, OC Mazda is offering 0.9% financing for 60 months on every new 2021 Mazda in stock. And most Mazdas get almost 40 miles per gallon, so you'll save even more at the pump. With two dealerships in Orange County, they've got twice the inventory, so you're going to find the right model at the right price. Or you can try the showroom-to-go option, where you can lease or purchase a new Mazda online from the comfort of your own home. And OC Mazda has won every customer appreciation award in the industry. Visit Tustin Mazda in the Tustin Auto Center, Huntington Beach Mazda on the Beach Boulevard of Cars. Check them out at ocmazda.com for details. OC Mazda, where it really is all about you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so Cam Akers, Rams running back, who really emerged last year in his rookie season, sent out a tweet. I said he started a dating service. Well, it's a very simple dating service. He sent out a tweet that said this: I want a girlfriend, man. He has received literally 5,000 responses to I want a girlfriend, man. And it's pictures.
Of course he has.
And it's, I mean, is it really that? It's that easy if you're a professional athlete to just say, I want a girlfriend, man, and you're going to get one on Twitter?
I bet he got a lot of naked DMs.
Yeah.
Well, see, I bet he did.
It's a world Mason's unfamiliar with, but I guarantee you Cam got a lot of, you know, pics.
Here I am. By the way, after all this talk about naked DMs and all that stuff, and you say you get
naked
tweets
all the time. They're
not necessarily
DMs, by the way.
You get naked tweets.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants big-headed John Ireland as a side piece. I have yet to see a naked picture either in my DMs or, and I don't block anybody, in my DMs or in my regular Twitter feed. I just don't believe that's really happening. It's probably happening for Cam Akers. I don't think it's happening for you, John.
Oh, well, it's not happening like daily. It happens occasionally. But I bet you know, for guys like O'Shea, it happens probably daily.
Yeah, no, it probably does. It probably does. Shea's
Are you talking about
DMs
bots, though, John? Like, is it bot accounts
that are? Sometimes. Yeah, I block anything like that contains nudity just to be safe. You know, because Mason and I know, like, one time we were working at another place, and some guy forwarded a dirty joke. Like, he didn't even create it. He forwarded a dirty joke, and they fired him. So I just don't want to be at work one day and, you know, have my computer open, and some guy sends me, you know, some clip from some movie, and I'm, you know, in trouble. So, Mace, you don't block anybody. You wouldn't even block that?
Nah, wouldn't block it. What's the point?
Because I don't want to get any more of them.
It's not like they get to me. Yeah, but so what? I mean, you want to send some? First of all, I don't get them, number one. I don't get naked pictures, so that's number one. Number two, no matter what anybody says, I'm just like, good for you. I'm not a trollable guy. You can't troll me. Because nothing really bothers me on social media. What are you laughing about?
nothing.
Yeah. See?
Do you think I'm trollable?
No. Well, we're going to find out.
What do you mean, when are we going to find out?
Because you just said that. You just
Mace,
said you're not trollable.
You're one of the most sensitive people to social media.
And by the way, you are so naive in this particular area.
Then why am I the one that doesn't block anybody and keeps his DMs open?
I don't know.
So sensitive.
But I think that what happens is Twitter in particular is a cesspool. I mean, there's so much negativity there.
I just think there are more good people than bad people on social media.
Well, there's more good people than bad people in the world.
Yes.
But it's the bad people that tend, the squeaky wheels tend to get the grease, you know?
But you can't, John, you let the bad people get under your skin, so you have to block them.
I would say I block somebody maybe once a month.
Once a month.
Like, Ramona blocks people daily because
yeah, no, she
so...
does, and I understand why she does.
So why don't you understand why others do?
Because I've seen Ramona's Twitter timeline, and right. It's outrageous what people say to her and about her. And it's because she's a woman working in sports.
Right.
That's not something that you and I confront.
As long as you don't tweet profanity or anything X-rated, I'm not blocking you.
Yep, tweet me anything. All right, so, John.
That's
John,
another way of saying if you have something profane or X-rated, send it to Mace.
Yeah.
Mace is soliciting the nudes.
Yeah.
Yep. I do. Don't. I mean,
because he hasn't seen them. That's why
I've never seen one. All right. So today, John, is the 84th birthday of Lakers superfan and legendary actor Jack Nicholson.
Is it?
Yep. Wow. 84 years old today. So, in that, and by the way, he's not made a movie now since 2010.
Yeah,
he's retired.
He's done.
Yeah, he's retired.
He still comes to the game sometimes, though.
Does he? If you go back and you think about the best Jack Nicholson performance, what comes to mind?
Well, I know for you it's Chinatown.
For me, it's Chinatown.
For me,
Forget it, Jake.
What popped into my head were two movies.
Yep.
And I'm probably leaving out some other ones, but the two that popped into my head were Terms of Endearment.
Oh, he's great.
Which I thought he was absolutely
hilarious. Yeah.
And As Good As It Gets, which I thought was, I think he won an Oscar for As Good As It Gets, right?
He did. He won Best Actor for As Good As It Gets.
And then I think off to the side on its own pedestal is The Shining.
The Shining is, for me, the, aside from Chinatown, which is my favorite movie of
and
all
we
time.
May have, okay, and, so by the way, so now we've mentioned four or five movies.
Yeah.
I think the movie that if we went and saw, like looked up all his ratings on Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah,
we didn't even mention the one that would get the highest number. You know,
which
what that
is probably One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is, I think, the quintessential Jack Nicholson performance.
Yeah. By the way, if you're looking for, if you've never seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, it's only the second movie in history to win Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress, and Best Actor. It's a great movie. If you really want to get depressed,
what's
like
it about?
If you want to be
about
depressed,
it's about a mental ward, a psychiatric ward at a hospital.
This is the ultimate movie if you want to be depressed, but it's great. It's great.
Who watches movies wanting to be depressed?
Well, I'm just promoting it that way.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's worth... And you know what's a very underrated performance?
I'll cross it off my
list. Underrated performance for him is Broadcast News.
Well, uncredited, by the way.
Uncredited. Plays a very obnoxious, look down your nose at everybody, Bill Rohrish, newscaster, national newscaster, who's really, really funny.
He basically plays the Tom Brokaw, Dan Rather, Peter Jennings role.
Yeah.
And as like the lead anchor. Do you remember one of the news manager weasels says, Jack Nicholson walks in and he goes, man, this is a brutal layoff, because they were laying a bunch of people off. And
yep.
The guy goes, well, you know, you could make it a little less brutal if you knock a million or two off your salary. And Nicholson just looks, doesn't say anything, just looks at the guy. And the guy realizes he's gone over the line.
Yeah.
That was a horrible joke. Not an indication of any of my feelings whatsoever.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson, one of the great actors, not just of his generation,
but of all time. I could argue... I think Meryl Streep has greatest living actress pretty locked up.
Correct.
Is Jack Nicholson greatest living actor right now?
What about Pacino?
What about Pacino?
I would put Nicholson ahead of Pacino and De Niro.
What about De Niro?
I would put Nicholson above both of them.
What about Daniel Day-Lewis?
He's close, but again, I would put Nicholson above him. The top competition would probably be Redford's still alive, right?
Yep.
Denzel is still alive.
Yep.
Tom Hanks is still alive. But Nicholson, I think I put Nicholson over. Redford is the only one that I'm struggling with. What makes you watch more movies than me? Would you put any of the names that we've mentioned above Nicholson?
It's so hard.
You can make an argument for Pacino.
I think you can make a good argument for Daniel Day-Lewis.
But Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't do the volume of work that Nicholson does. Nicholson cranked out.
He cranked out a lot of movies.
A great movie once a year for 35 years. Daniel Day-Lewis is great in everything, but then he might sit for 2-3 years, and then he'll come out with something else, and he's great.
Yeah, they both have 3 Oscars. He does. Pacino has got 1.
How many does Redford have?
Redford has not won for acting.
Really?
He won for directing for Ordinary People.
Wow, he didn't win for The Candidate or
Sting did not win.
Or any of that stuff.
All those movies didn't win, yeah.
Butch Cassidy didn't win for that?
No, wow. None of them. None of them. Never won. Anyway, happy birthday to Jack Nicholson, who is a legend. It's a good question, too. Is he the greatest living actor? At Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland. Coming up next for you. Fast Track. Be here every day for Fast Track at this time, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.